10 o'clock hour of William Tausch begins now. It begins with Matt LaFleur at the podium in the Lambeau Field Media Auditorium saying of Aaron Rodgers' wide receiver comments yesterday, quote, "There's going to be growing pains, particularly with young players. The thing is, and I appreciate this about Aaron, the urgency to get some of this stuff corrected." He called some of these mistakes about lining up in the wrong spot silly. But he also said that while he understood Rodgers' impatience because the season is getting closer, that the mistakes are correctable. So,
sure,
everybody's happy. Romeo Doubs, meanwhile, did a great job of getting off the line of scrimmage yesterday against what Matt LaFleur calls a salty defense. But as Aaron Rodgers didn't mention how well he got off the line of scrimmage, instead he mentioned that he dropped the best ball he threw all day.
Any fights yesterday?
Nope.
All right, we need 1.5 today.
Didn't do
1.5 fights.
Not once. So that's what probably why there weren't any fights. I think there will be at least one today. The Patriots and the Panthers had a fight yesterday. They've had two today already.
Rasul Douglas was looking for a fight yesterday, right?
He was trying. He was giving his assessment.
This Rasul Douglas, man. I'll tell you what, man.
Man,
he's a football player.
Man. I didn't know we did that.
Rasul Douglas, he's a football playing footballer. That's what Rasul Douglas is, huh?
Spider right? through white banana. All right. Well, as much as
is Mike Gruden better than my John Madden? You guys all were pretty impressed.
It was
right?
good,
my
man.
John Madden.
Yeah.
Is it better than
Madden's
my Nicholson?
Your best
though?
One.
You got to bring Madden.
No, Nicholson.
We're on the road Nicholson. Again tomorrow. You got to bring Madden back out when we're on the road.
I might bring a little John Madden tomorrow. Yeah.
Your Nicholson couldn't be worse. Your Madden couldn't be better.
Okay.
And then there's Morgan Freeman.
I appreciate your criticism, and I'm going to take that and try and improve. I'm not going to pout and cry about it. I'm going to try to improve on it.
It's not criticism. It's factual statement. Be that as it may. Aaron Rodgers, as we discussed during the 9 o'clock hour, with some criticism of his wide receivers. He also talked about the guys that he does trust and praised Sammy Watkins. Here again.
Big trust. I used to love that. The Baltimore Ravens, when they would go, it was who did they have? It was the tailback, Ingram. Big trust. I always thought that was great. I wish more people did. All right, go ahead, Jason.
Have you been studying up on the AFC North overnight?
Like, yeah, well, listen, I'm a football guy. I love football.
Preparation.
Okay? So.
Bengals takes for us at all? Jamar Chase? You know,
yeah, bigger. they're gonna take a step back. Joe Burrow, bad appendix. Don't underestimate appendixes. He's not going to be back. I think the Bengals missed the playoffs. That's my Bengals take. All right, go ahead.
Are you preparing for like a Freddie and Fitzsimmons appearance that I need to be aware of? Or
Jason, I know ball. What do you want me to say? You want me to act like I don't know what I'm talking about? I can dumb it down and say,
you don't need to dumb it down for me. But I did enjoy Big Truss. And then you couldn't think of Mark Ingram's name. You interrupted me just for that.
When those guys were humming along, when Lamar Jackson was the MVP and Big Truss, that was great stuff. Like that was great stuff. That's got to be something moving forward.
Yeah.
Big Truss.
Big old T and Big Truss. New show on ESPN Overnights. So if we could play the Aaron Rodgers audio that I was about to play before Big Truss interrupted, that would be great.
No, I mean, there's definitely some guys that you feel really good about. Obviously, I can play with Cobbie in my sleep, and when he's healthy, he's a premier slot receiver in the league. I feel, especially after today, better with Sammy. And then there's a lot of opportunity after that.
He goes on to praise Watkins more extensively, says it was his best practice, says he's a gamer, which yesterday wasn't really a game, but I guess was kind of like a game.
You sure he wasn't talking about video games? Like he's a gamer?
Yes.
The gamer chair?
Yes, big trust. Okay. I know what he meant, yes.
No Lazard there, huh?
Yeah, but he's I mean, it's not like he snubbed Lazard. Yeah, no.
Oh, he slighted him. Wow.
Are you guys particularly
this is how
difficult today?
Media works. So
is this what new media? Listen, new media would make a big deal about now.
New
Lazard
media calls
here.
Out old media. Yeah, new media calls out old media. That's part of the new media shtick.
I mean, that is new media aside. That's what stood out to me was that he complimented. We knew he would say good things about Cobb. Like I was shocked he didn't say anything about Lazard.
Wow, I didn't even. From a member of the new media, I didn't even recognize that. Listen, Jesse, don't make more out of it. That's what old media does. New media looks at things from a big context standpoint, has big trust. He has raved about Alan Lazard. Jason, has he not raved about Alan Lazard throughout this process? He can be a number one. I like an Alan Lazard with a chip on his shoulder, blah, blah, blah. I think he feels real. I think he's building up Sammy Watkins a little bit more. It almost feels like he's really trying to, almost like persuade himself to believe what he's saying about. He knows Sammy Watkins is a wild card. He doesn't know what he's getting with Sammy Watkins. Okay? All this Sammy Watkins glowing review stuff, color me skeptical. Okay? Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, and then he's got a ton of skepticism about the rest of his operation. He feels like Romeo Doubs. He knows that Romeo Doubs needs to be his third. He knows he needs him to get up to the standard. And that's what this whole morning has been about for us is, yeah, he likes Sammy Walker. Oh, that's all great. You put some truth serum in him. He's going to tell you that Romeo Doubs needs to be his third.
About 450 words ago, Tausch asked me if praised Alan Lazard. Yes, extensively. So, no, I don't think that was a snub. All the points that Tausch made are good ones. I don't know what he really, truly believes about Sammy Watkins. Great American orator and football coach. Brad Childress once told us hope is not a strategy. Also, clowns are funny now. I think he's hoping Sammy Watkins can be good.
Yes, agree. Agree, but let's not
I don't think
Sammy
he knows.
Watkins. He does not. He does not have an idea. And I think in a perfect world, he knows he wants Romeo Doubs and that talent and what he is bringing to the table to elevate himself so that he doesn't need that uncertainty in his life. That's what I think he's hoping for.
My question, as it was to begin this conversation before I had to practice, is he prepared to understand that no matter how good Romeo Doubs is, that he is still going to screw up because he's a rookie? He's going to throw... Well, he didn't sound like a guy who understood that yesterday. But
because that's not what – he doesn't want to just kind of acquiesce and say that's what's going to happen. He has to understand. He's got to understand that can happen. And does he have to accept that? He has to learn how to deal with it and understand it. But he can't just – your point on Devontae – everybody knows he's not going to be Devontae. There's only one Devontae. He's special.
It's true.
You want him to just continue to progress and not make the same mistake. Make sure he's picking that stuff up. And I think yesterday was the big urgency horn was blowing. And I think part of it is the frustration that I think you mentioned about getting your tail kicked. But it's also understanding what is being done right now, whilst there's some good stuff, you need more. And I just want to make sure you young guys know you need to be better. You need to be more consistent. Because from a rookie standpoint, You don't know how to be a pro yet. You don't know all the things. That's why it's important to have a Randall Cobb to help, to kind of help you through that process. The hardest part is it's great. You go out and have a great practice. People are telling you, oh, you're doing great, all this other stuff. The pro in you is says, what just happened doesn't matter. It's what happens moving forward. Can I do it again? Because the great ones, the guys that can have long careers, they can do it again and again. They want you. Coaches want the same guy. They want to know what they're getting. And that's hard to do as a rookie because you do end up riding that roller coaster a little bit. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down.
So one of the other funny things yesterday was amid all of his discussion about the wide receivers, someone asked him if he goes into the offensive line room and correct the tape with them. And yep. He said, you've got to leave some of that to the coaches. There's a reason why they're leading those rooms. Every now and then, if there's something really important, I might slip into the tight end room or the receiver room. But you got to trust the coaching on that. So I'm sure he's trusting Jason Vrabel to get Romeo Dobbs ready. But if we were to try and pull my very verbose suggested pull of what's the best way to get the most out of Romeo Dobbs realistically this season, the standard is the standard and demand publicly that he reaches that standard. Privately coddle him a little bit and help him along because he knows he screwed up yesterday. And look, by the way, we all agree that pre-snap penalties are stupid and you have to be better than that.
Hey, I can get a guy off the street to do that.
Jeff Jagosinski?
Yep.
I thought so. He wasn't very nice. I would not have succeeded with him as my coach.
You can say a lot about Jags. He's not a coddler.
He's not
a coddler.
Do you think his coaching style worked? That's a no.
Maybe.
More of this discussion coming up. But my point is that does he have to reevaluate? Can you apply the standard as the standard to a rookie wide receiver? Or does the standard need to be a little different? Does he have to be a little more flexible in his standard? We all want to say the standard is the standard. But maybe the standard needs to be different for a rookie than it is for Alan Lazard, than it is for Sammy Watkins. Still a high standard, but maybe it has to be different. That's the question that I would like to explore further. But we need to play trivia because I need to get to practice. The second of two joint practices with the New Orleans Saints. We are predicting a fight today. I think Rasul Douglas spouting off again and again
Kenny Clark.
And again.
It's Kenny.
I had a Kenny's great conversation with Kenny yesterday. Kenny said, I ain't out there to fight. Now, if somebody brings it to me, then that's a different conversation. He also had, by the way, I know we need to get to trivia, but he also had one of my favorite lines. I said, I asked him if there was ever a point where he thought there might be a fight. And he said, and this was great, a little bit from the DBs and receivers, but they talk all day. That's what the small guys do. The big guys, we work. Which I thought was pretty good.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I have liked Kenny Clark since we went on that cruise with him and his crew. Kenny Clark may be my favorite Packer. He's my favorite player.
We had a lovely conversation. He was, and the best part was, after he said that, he smiled because he knew he had given me some gold. Like, he was proud of that.
Gave you a little goose. Yeah. Gave you a little goose grease, didn't he? Yep.
That's what the small guys do. The big guys, we work. What we do on this program is play trivia. So we need to play it now so I can go down to practice. Jesse, what's today's category and what caller would you like?
Cage match. Not for the fights at practice, but because of the Nicolas Cage bust that was in Aaron Rodgers' locker.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about that thing. You're right.
Nicolas Cage classics. Cage match.
I like it. All right, and which caller would
very
you like?
Underrated. Very underrated.
Is he, though? Caller 11. Caller 11 today.
11. Caller 11. 844-770-3776. How well do you know Nicolas Cage's career in honor of his sculpture that was anonymously sent to Aaron Rodgers by clearly someone who is both a fan of Aaron Rodgers and a fan of Nicolas Cage, to the point that they were able to create a sculpture of his face? Caller 11 right now, 844-770-3776. Jesse and Tausch are going to play Wilde and Tausch trivia. I'm going to walk down to practice after I remind you that if you're a Packers fan, now's the time to sign up for Packers checking from Associated Bank. You'll get a discount at the Packers Pro Shop, both online and in store. You get your Packers debit MasterCard. You get to enter through the Associated Bank gate. Everything that you want in a Packers fan package comes with your Packers checking from Associated Bank. Check out AssociatedBank.com/Packers to find out more. Trivia is next, and I'll be at practice next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Baby, you're so classic. Roses, anything for you to notice, all the way to serenade you.
Wilde and Tausch back with you, but it's Jesse and Tausch for the time being as Jason works his way down to the sidelines of Packers-Saints joint practice number 2 today. 2 of 2 as the Packers and Saints get set for their preseason game, the lone preseason game at Lambeau Field coming up on Friday night. Tausch, we didn't talk at all about the Nicolas Cage bust, although it was referenced a couple of times in the first hour and 15 minutes of Wilde and Tausch this morning. What'd you make of the Nicolas Cage bust in Aaron Rodgers' locker?
I love it. I think anytime we can do some stuff that's fun, you know, Aaron comes in to training camp a couple years ago with the dude from The Office, and that was fun. And then this year he comes in all Nick Caged up, talking Con Air and whatever else, and then you try to decipher what the meanings are. And whenever Aaron can kind of let himself be either a part of the joke or in on it, I think it's great for him. And I think Nick Cage doesn't get enough love. I don't think he gets enough love. The movie Face Off is a fantastic movie. I will, very few movies, like if they show up on like A&E or whatever, if you're flipping through channels, Shawshank is right there. And if you give me Face Off,
oh my God,
I'm watching Face Off. The whole concept of it sounds crazy, but with artificial intelligence and with this whole new bit, it's happening. I think this could happen too. I love the movie. Bring me more Nick Cage.
Well, bring me Wilde and Tausch trivia.
That out loud.
You just compared Face Off and Shawshank Redemption, which is remarkable. Let's welcome in today's trivia contestant. It's Mike in Madison. Mike, welcome to Wilde and Tausch without Wilde. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good morning, fellas.
Nicholas,
hope you're all doing well.
Nicolas Cage, Mike. Overrated, underrated, or properly rated in the actor landscape?
That depends on who you ask. I'd say properly. Because he's hit or miss, you know?
I'd agree with
you. I love Raising Arizona. I used to watch Con Air all the time.
Con Air is good.
He actually has a couple of new indie horror films that came out, like Mandy, which was phenomenal. No, I know. I hear you. I know you're not a big horror fan. That's fine.
So we've got a legit Nicolas Cage fan on the game here, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
I've just
Children of the
seen
Corn.
Enough of his movies.
That's a horror movie. That's great. That Exorcist movie. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I watched them ski.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't want to get, listen, Mike, I don't want to get pigeonholed here and say I don't like horror movies. I don't like Nick Cage's horror movies. But I do, there's a ski, there's something about, there was a movie about a ski lift. And they get stuck on the ski lift. What they're doing out there, I don't know. But they end up getting eaten by wolves.
Whoa.
One of the crazier, it's a horror, it's, don't watch it if you want to sleep at night. Let's just
wolves on a ski lift. Hate that one. Let's play some Will Dance House trivia.
Hey, there ain't nobody dancing with any wolves on that trip, I can tell you that.
Am I right? Tausch, you have question number one.
All right, Mike. Nicolas Cage this is funny. Portrays the villainous Castor Troy, who goes toe-to-toe with FBI agent Sean Archer, played by John Travolta, in a case of mistaken identities in which unbelievable 1997 classic movie is it? Is it Face Off, Next, or The Taming of the Shrew 2, Electric Shrugaloo?
Oh, I wish it was that one, but I'm going to have to go with Face Off.
Nothing like Tausch tipping the pitches.
I didn't read through the show sheet, obviously. I think Face Off might be one of the most underrated movies that we have out in the entire lexicon of movies. But
wow. This sounds like a power ranking.
I remember renting it when it came out.
What did you think?
It was just one of the craziest movies I had seen at that time. I'm like, what? Because they kept changing faces.
Changing voices.
It's not just one face change. It's like almost Mission Impossible-esque.
Well, if you thought that was good, my personal, one of my all-time favorite movies, not just Nicolas Cage movies, one of my all-time favorite movies is National Treasure. And that is the subject.
Oh, that's just a fun movie.
That is the subject of question number two, Mike and Madison. Which of these is the name of the main protagonist Nicolas Cage plays in the National Treasure franchise? Is it George Washington Gates, Thomas Jefferson Gates, or Benjamin Franklin Gates?
And that I don't know. I'm just going to go with Thomas Jefferson B.
It's just another clue, Ben. Benjamin Franklin ben. Gates. Correct answer there.
I'm terrible with names, so I was like, I'm not going to remember that.
Well, let's see if you can bounce back here with question three.
I would not have gotten that one right either, and I should, because National Treasure, great little series.
Oh, yeah.
Nick Cage plays Balthazar Blake in which 2010 adventure film? Too bad you didn't have a horror film question here. I got a feeling old boy would have gotten that one. Is it The Frozen Ground, The Sorcerer's Apprentice, or Ghost Rider?
It's The Sorcerer's Apprentice. I also sadly saw that one.
I would have never, ever gotten that one.
You knew The Sorcerer's Apprentice, but not Benjamin Franklin Gates?
I couldn't remember the name. I couldn't remember his name.
Well, Mike, nice way to bounce back. You do have three of our possible four entries for Friday's drawing for an ESPN Woo-hoo! Wisconsin prize pack. Thanks for showing off your Nick Cage knowledge. Nicely done. Thanks for tuning in and playing Wildy and Tausch Trivia, Mike.
Thank you. Have a great day.
I love you guys.
That is Wildy and Tausch Trivia. You honestly put Face Off up as the most underrated movie ever?
Well, when you start looking at the era that it was made and how much stuff that actually happened there is now happening in real life, the voice, being able to change voices and be able to do what they did then, it's futuristic. Tell me you weren't entertained.
It was a ridiculous concept, and it still is.
Jesse, it's happening in real life. This stuff happens.
No, it's not. No one's taking someone's face and putting it on their face to go undercover to bust a criminal empire.
Why don't you go talk to some plastic surgeons? Why don't you go do that, okay? Oh, the voice God. Thing is real, and the face-off component to this, whilst it's not common yet, if you don't think that happens in real life, I don't know what I can tell you.
I can't wait to bring Jason up to speed on what he missed in his segment in which he walked down to Packers Saints joint practice, which, by the way, we'll step aside now because Jason will join us from the sidelines of Packers Saints joint practice number 2.
I heard the Saints are marching in. Yeah. I heard the Saints are marching into Nitschke.
I've heard that, too. We will hear Jason's observations for the remainder of the show from the sidelines of the Packers-Saints practice. We'll see how many fights we get coming up next on Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Tito's Vodka, America's original craft vodka. Find recipes and learn about their story at titosvodka.com.
This one goes out to the one I love.
Live from Saints practice at Clark Hinkle Field, as the Packers are still inside the Don Hutson Center doing their stretching and walking through, etc. So we will await their emergence from the Hutson Center over here on the Clark Hinkle side and watch the Saints go through their walk through and stretching. Tausch, some Wisconsin connections on this team. Ryan Ramczyk, one of the best right tackles in the league. Taysom Hill, former Packers training camp quarterback. Zach Bond, friend of show, right? He's been on our show a couple times.
He has, yeah.
He was leading up to the draft. He's on the Saints roster as well. So we'll keep an eye on what they're up to. I always thought Jameis Winston was like this big, huge, like not offensive lineman size, but like tight end sized quarterback. He looks really skinny. I wonder if he's like slimmed down while he's been rehabbing his torn ACL, because he does not, he's tall, but he's more lanky. Some might say wiry, like we spindly. Would say about Christian.
Some have said spindly, right?
Some have said spindly, not me, but you have decided that I said that. So I know you guys had some fun with Nicolas Cage, and I hear the Old National Bank Talk and Text Line is lighting up with some Nicolas Cage takes, so we'll get to those at some juncture here. But there was a text, Jesse, that you got on the Old National Bank Talk and Text Line regarding our Rodgers discussion that I think I'm not sure that the person has a point, but they have an observation or a question that I think merits at least some discussion.
I'll
read that text.
Yeah, essentially the same text from two different people. So sorry, Tim and Oshkosh. Nick and Madison said it a little better because he quotes Tausch, which is always great.
That's always a good move.
Nick and Madison, if the standard is the standard, maybe old boy should have showed up to OTAs to show these young guys what that standard is.
Wow. That's a Wilde. Is that Wilde's burner account? Who is that?
Who am I? Nick and Madison.
Nick and Madison.
Or am I Tim and Oshkosh? Yeah. Tausch, your response.
You know what, Nick? That's a fair point.
Mm-hmm.
I have said I think the most important thing for Aaron Rodgers is to be fresh and focused for training camp. But Aaron has to understand, too, that is a really good point by Nick. Is that going to be the difference? I guess the question you have for Aaron Rodgers, and Jason, you could be a little confrontational with Aaron. You could ask that question, and I'd love to see how Aaron Rodgers responds to that, because I don't care what you could say, and I get that Aaron's got a lot of other things going on, but would it hurt for Aaron Rodgers to work with these young players on some of the things during teaching OTAs, and you know, basically these are jog throughs, and teaching what you're looking for that standard to be the standard? You can't in good faith say that wouldn't help speed up the process. It is a very fair question that Jason Wilde needs to ask Aaron Rodgers next week.
Does this mean that after all the guff you gave me for nitpicking or repeatedly going back to that this offseason, that like we hear when we play Flush It or Flush It, presented by the Gordon Flesh Company, I don't even know what movie it's from, Jason figured it out. Could we do a variation here and say Jason had a valid point this offseason, or are you not willing to go that far?
No, because listen, I think if Aaron is going to be critical and talk like he did yesterday, he's kind of speaking out of both sides of his mouth when it comes to this. If you're going to push back, I do not have one problem with Aaron Rodgers handling his offseason the way he did. Showed up at the mandatory minicamp. By all accounts, has came into camp in great shape. He's going to be ready to roll. But if you're going to say these guys need to get up to speed, they need to know their depths on their routes and understanding coverages and where they need to be, then you also can criticize him for not being a part of that process in April, May, and June. Had Aaron not said what he said yesterday and let you know, you wouldn't hear a word from me. But Nick, I'm giving Nick credit here because that is a fantastic question.
Of course.
The point has a lot of merit that Nick brought up.
So what I'm asking you, though, and what I would appreciate your 11-year NFL veteran insight into, is in what ways could that time have been beneficial? Because I think anyone who would argue against Nick and me would say, yeah, that's the off season, though. It's a different tempo. It's a different level of learning the playbook. You know, they've obviously gone through all the installs again now. So it wouldn't really make that big of a difference in where these guys are. Yeah, that's the baby horn over here on the same side of the field.
Very meek. Very meek horn.
Meek horn, yeah. But how would you respond to someone who would say
that wouldn't have made that much impact? No, so, Jesse, is it better when you're training producers to give them reps and talk through it, or to say you need to get this thing figured out and then come in and tell them how they need to do it?
Reps are always the best, real experience.
So it's really hard for me, you know, as someone that likes Aaron Rodgers, well, to say that you're not going to help them speed up their process. I don't care if it's jog throughs, walk throughs, slog throughs. You're going to get something out of it. And if you're wanting to get that urgency level picked up, is it going to be the same thing? No, but could it be a couple of things that Christian Watson, and I said this then, but I still believe that an Aaron Rodgers freshness and coming in with a great mindset rather than feeling like he was forced to come in. I want Aaron Rodgers to be happy. Now, it turns out Aaron Rodgers isn't happy with his development of his players. And what could have maybe helped speed that up is actually doing something in May and June that wouldn't have made him happy. That's the paradox that we're dealing with.
I think it's a valid question.
I really want you to ask him that. I think it would be, how does he respond to that question?
Dismissively would be my prediction.
I don't know how you can, but Jason, if you frame it the way I and Nick, a couple of geniuses, just framed it,
you can't really dismiss.
It's not dismissible. It is addressable, but not dismissible.
Well, we'll have time to further discuss how I should frame it when I approach him on this next week. But I was on that train all off season, caught a lot of grief for it, deservedly so. I may have overemphasized the point. But the other part of that is that before COVID and before he went on vacation to Hawaii last off season and did all the fun stuff he did last year, and before this off season where he did another of his ayahuasca journeys and everything else, he never missed the off season program. And he obviously felt like from 2005 through 2019 that there was value in him being here. And then 2020 was virtual, so for no one was here. 2021 was his offseason of discontent, so he wasn't here. This past offseason, everything was hunky-dory. He knew he had three rookie wide receivers that had been drafted. So he knew that the dynamic was going to be different. And he still chose to take the approach he took for the offseason. So I would agree that being dismissive about this question shouldn't be the case, but I still think that he will be dismissive about it. That would be my prediction. So maybe somebody else can ask, and maybe he won't be quite as dismissive. We'll have to wait and see next week if and when he is asked about this. All right, so the Saints are now stretching. The Packers are still not out on Ray Nitschke Field just yet, but day two of joint practices is coming up. And Aaron Rodgers talked about something else yesterday that I want to get to, and that is the Packers' defense. Now, if you wanted him to be positive, which he was not yesterday, about wide receivers and about the offense and mistakes, he is positive about the defense. We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers talking about that side of the ball next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com. If I'm far from home,
and a Schwabenon police car just went speeding through Potts Avenue, drove onto the sidewalk to get around the bikes. I don't know what he's in hot pursuit of. Well, there's a lot of drama going on here. So hopefully everyone's okay, because that was, I'm not sure I've ever seen that. He jumped the curb. Lights and sirens blaring.
Live police chase from training camp?
Yeah, it's like that live PD. Isn't that like a show on like A&E or something? I mean, he's like avoiding pedestrians. We'll have to check the Green Bay crime reports to get an update on that. We are live from Saints practice. The Packers should be emerging from the Hudson Center shortly. I will stay on this side of the field with the baby horn and with the Saints until they head over to Ray Nitschke Field. But one of the things that Aaron Rodgers was positive about yesterday was the Packers' defense, which, again, Andy Dalton seems like a very nice fellow. Andy Dalton, at this point in his career, not a great NFL quarterback. So that might have had something to do, just like the Packers' offensive line struggles might have had something to do with the defense's success. But maybe the defense is just that good. We'll find out soon enough. But here's Aaron Rodgers talking about the Packers' defense yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different type of defense structure, you know, four down against three down. This is a good defense we're going against, really good defense, you know, top middle linebacker, you know, really good edge setter, very good secondary on the back end with, you know, veteran leadership and guys that can actually really catch the ball on that side of the ball. But, yeah, I love our guys, and we're going to have to lean on them at times until we get really rolling on offense. And maybe, you know, they're going to be opportunistic and take the ball away for us, give us some short fields and help us get some confidence. But offensively, you know, it's been good to take our lumps. I feel like today it was kind of a stalemate for us on offense, which is good, because it seems like every other day against our defense, we've kind of been on the short end.
So a stalemate. That's not what you're looking for offensively, obviously. But defensively, Tausch, you know, this idea that an Aaron Rodgers coached quarterbacked team is going to have a defensive identity, we've kind of pushed back on that to some degree. But he is even starting to sound like that's his expectation, at least early in the season. Is it not?
Yeah, it does sound that way. And I think, you know, Devontae leaving and with kind of how Green Bay was able to keep Devondre Campbell, bring back Rasul Douglas, use those two picks that you got from Devontae to kind of parlay that and utilize two first-round picks into your defensive side of the football. You start anticipating that whilst you have Aaron Charles Rodgers as quarterback, you're always going to be viewed as an offensive football team. Homer has brought this up numerous times. The Green Bay Packers, when they win Super Bowls, their defenses are top-notch. And this defense, I think, on paper, with if injuries are limited, you would have to think this is going to be the best group that they've had with Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback. And they're going to have to play at a very high level, especially early in the season, because it seems as if with the young receivers and with the kind of the overhaul of the offensive line that we're talking about, it is not going to be the smooth, efficient, explosive offense that we've seen with Aaron Rodgers at the helm for the vast majority of his career. That is going to take a little time, and you just hope Aaron Rodgers has the patience and understands, you know, he's always been great with protecting the football. If you're a defensive first football team, which by all accounts looks as if they're heading up to Minnesota with that mentality, you have to make sure you're even that much more conscious of not turning the football over, because it's not going to be 28-20 games. You're looking at it playing out in the high teens. That's just a whole different mentality than what Aaron Rodgers is used to.
I like the fact that Russ Ball still says hello to me.
That was nice of him. That was Russ Ball, Russ Wilson.
Yep. No, Russ Ball. Hey, Jason, how you doing today? That was nice of him.
Has Mark Murphy said hi to you in a while?
No, he has not. No, he has not. We will kick off the 11 o'clock hour as practice, the joint practice number two between the Saints and the Packers, kicks off in earnest. And we'll do that in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Will the Attach.